All right. Hello, everyone. It's good to be here. It's good to see you. Welcome to Gentle Healing 2. As you only have an hour now, so I don't start off with music or anything like that. We just jump right in. And the first half hour is yours to share, and then the second half hour is mine to share. And this week, we've been looking at NTI revelation. So in addition to, let's see, that in addition to lots of awakening, you had a commentary, I think it was the commentary on love, to contemplate at the beginning of the week. You've also had some journaling assignments that came from NTI revelation. One was reading NTI revelation 8. As a way of looking at how your mind interprets things, what your mind says as it reads, and why it says that. And then you also had the opportunity to read NTI Revelation 10 and allow the right mind to give you an interpretation. So I'm looking forward to seeing what y'all have to share. Who would like to get us started? Tell you what, I will start it off with a write-in because I have three write-ins. So the first one I'm going to read is from Teresa. Nancy says, wait, that means you're ready, Nancy? Okay. I'll tell you what, I will give the mic to you.
Okay, it just, you know, I just, I, can you guys hear me? Okay, yeah, it just, I got on a little bit late and I couldn't find the raise the hand icon, so it took me a minute. So thanks a lot, Regina. Okay, I started, writing or journaling about the tip for day 275, where there were six steps to, let me see, there were the six seals and the six steps that are part of the awakening process. And I actually spent a lot of the time on the one that really stuck out for me, which is the first step, desiring awakening more than anything else. So I wrote in my journal about what that is for me, and then I asked for guidance. So that's what I'm going to read. So in my journal, I wrote, desiring awakening more than anything else. I can't say that I desire awakening more than anything. When I came to the Gentle Healing Group, it was not with the goal of awakening. I had been studying A Course in Miracles and was very drawn to the spiritual text. However, I really needed help in understanding how to apply what I learned from A Course in Miracles to my daily life. I noticed also that meditation and deep inner work would help me integrate my new understanding of truth and reality and how to live a life with this knowledge. It is remarkable that I found awakening together, where I'm learning spiritual precepts and the application of them in my daily life. I'm also meditating and doing the work of purification. The added bonus, and something I didn't expect, is having learned to receive guidance from self. I can't imagine life without nurturing this connection with my inner reality, and it is to this end that I continue participating in the Gentle Healing Group. If that leads to awakening, so be it. However, it has not been my goal. I will rephrase that and say, rather, that it has not been my conscious goal. I suspect that awakening is my deepest inner desire and what drives me. I'm grateful for that because it means I don't have to put pressure on myself to want awakening more than anything else. If and when the inner and outer merge and are experienced as one, well, whatever. I imagine it would be pretty glorious in so much as I can imagine it from here. And then I wrote, Holy Spirit, is there a message for me here? And the answer was, it is well that you have come so far because you love making contact with self. However, you contradict yourself when you say you love this and yet do not really care to awaken. Your moments of contact in the readings you do, the listening, the seeing, and the meditations are little intermittent awakenings. You are awakening, and the potential to be fully awakened is what drives you. What you have said is akin to bringing yourself to a banquet table in order to have a meal, but taking small bites here and there and claiming you don't really want a full meal. In other words, I'm not hungry, I'll just pick. You are hungry for all of it, and that's why you're at the banquet in the first place. Do not fool yourself. The ego is very tricky. You have been receiving clear guidance for some months now to wake up an hour earlier in order to enrich your reading and contemplation so you can deepen your connection. You believe you haven't been able to do this because you need to do more purification work regarding holding yourself back in life. That may be true in part, but it is not the real reason. The core reason is fear. You are terrified of deepening your practice because it can bring you closer to a full awakening. The nonchalance and the slowing the pace are the ego's cover of this fact. So what's it going to be? There's a rumbling in the pit of your stomach when I ask that question. Please remember, I am with you. You do not do this alone. Everything you need will be given to support you on this path. Put your trust in me and do not be distracted. There is love here and peace beyond imagining. All is well. So that's it. Letting go of the mic.
All right, Nancy, that was beautiful, and I love the fact that you love the fact that you have this inner relationship with your inner teacher. So thank you so much, and everything that you shared was gorgeous, and I'm glad you told me to wait. George, the mic is yours. And George, you do not have the mic yet, but the mic is yours.
Okay. How about now? Yeah. All right. Hi, Regina and everyone. Let's see. Let me share from yesterday. This was the guidance from Revelation 10. This is the story of the angel and the little scroll, and you know, the angel hands the scroll, hands the person writing the scroll, and it's says, take and eat, it will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. So anyway, this is the message that I got here from Inner Wisdom. Write this down. Only you can deliver yourself. The you being the one true self. This time has already been done and never was. As you pray for deliverance, hold on to the desire to trust that you're worthy. You are worthy. The sweetness represents truth, and the bitterness represents the ego's incompatibility with that truth. Truth has secrets the ego cannot know. The image of God represented by the angel is a terrifying sight to the spirit of fear and separation. You are the mighty, terrible angel with the knowledge of all that is. You speak to the little self of ego, which is terrified of what it sees. And yet, the part of you that wants to return to full awareness of truth reaches out in willingness to accept the scroll of truth. All right, dropping the mic.
Yeah, thank you so much, George, for sharing that. It's kind of fun to hear the right-minded interpretations that came from NTI Revelation 10. So if anyone else would like to share, I would love to hear. And also, I'd love to hear what you saw or what you learned about the way you interpret when you read NTI Revelation 8. I will be sharing mine. If any of y'all want to share yours, I'd love to hear it. Is there anyone who wants to share anything now? See, Anne, the mic is yours.
There we go, lock mic. Okay, here we go. I think that lock is mic'd. I think that mock is liked. I think the mic is locked. I'll try that one more time. There we go. Thank you. Okay. Let me look at this. You had said Revelation, the mic is liked. Yes, I said the mock is liked. Exactly. Nothing wrong with me. Okay, so I can share what I wrote for NTI Revelation 10. God, was that just Monday? Boy, these are some long days lately. Great days, but long days. That seems like longer than that ago. Okay, this is what came from Revelation 10. The time is now. There will be no more delay means there need be no more delay in your process of letting go of the separate sense of identity, the I know mind, the ego. Delay itself is a concept purely of the ego as it seeks to prompt imaginings of separation, you from your true self. This is illusion. It cannot be, and it is not truth. You are the angel, the scroll, the land, and the sea. You are all God has created because you are creation. Only thoughts in your own mind, when believed by you, say differently. And it is those thoughts which it is time for you to release. Let go of everything you think, everything you seek to learn, think you have learned, everything. Be still. Drop deep down into the heart and allow grace to come. Wait patiently and assuredly. The time is now. So that was Revelation 10. All right. Thank you. Thanks for letting me share.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that sharing on no need to delay. Yeah, no need to delay. All right, Jacqueline, mic is yours.
Okay, I'll share my interpretation of Revelation 10. I asked, what would you say to me about this passage? And the response was, I would remind you that all wisdom comes from within. This passage speaks of a truth that is known but denied by the knower. This is as it is with you. When the truth is denied, it is as a meal that is eaten now for its taste, but regretted later. The truth is that which is and shall be. No denial of the truth may be stomached for long. You are encouraged not only to prophesy about the truth, but to live that truth so that you may know it in its living. The scroll laying open in the angel's hand indicates that the truth is open and available to be known. It is denied only by your choice to do so. Lift up your head to the heavens and live your truth as you know it. As you do so, greater understanding and clarity will be given for all.
Yeah, beautiful. And I love that denial of truth may taste sweet, but it sours your stomach. However you said that, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing your interpretation. Is there someone else who would like to share? All right, Ruby, the mic is yours.
Okay, I'm sharing from Monday, I think November 12th. But this is what came up for me Monday. And it was very much related to the seventh step what you had given. And it was related to the other, lessons in Revelation. But the seventh step was to give no meaning to anything the ego says or to any experience you have as the ego dies. And then also, I'm going a little backwards, and I haven't got to Monday yet, but also that had to do with what I read, either it was in Jude or John, but you guys will probably remember, it was a statement that said, do not believe anything. I thought I wrote it down. It said, do not believe anything the ego says, or don't believe anything or anything. I forget where it said. But on Monday, after I went through the revelations and looked at some things that just came up that were very deep, that were in a deeper way, but I had went through them before, but they came up again. So Monday I wake up God, I sleep with God, be still and know. Be still and know. And for the past couple of months, I've had this very, maybe 2 or 3 months, guidance to go to the heart. Breathe with me and listen with me and keep going back to the heart. That is my practice, to go to your heart, to have your attention to your heart. And then I had an issue with doing that, even though the guidance was very strong. So I continued to do that, but I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't feeling going to the heart. I wasn't feeling it. Even though I was going to the heart, breathing and listening. And then I was praying for some kind of, you know, some kind of evidence that I'm going to the heart and I'm getting some kind of feeling. I just wanted to feel something or get something from it instead of going to the heart, listening. But I kept doing it. But then what happened is I read in Regina's lesson, her daily contemplation, and I stapled them all together, and that was a contemplation that was just really meaningful to me. And it was about the eye of knowledge. The eye of knowledge does not see others. In this way, there is no I. There is only existence. And the heart of existence beating as one. So that was what I was looking for. It was just a perfect blessing because my guidance went on to say, go to the heart of existence and breathe with me. The heart of existence is beating as one. When one hears a heart of existence, one is in tune with I. When one sees self and others, one has lost awareness of truth. So all through my Italy experience, I was going through step by step by step to let go of lots of things, which I've made a list of. You don't have to know that. But I made a list of the things that were letting go. And what comes up is the heart of existence beating as one. And that was clear to me, that the heart of existence is beating as one. And I wake up with God, I sleep with God, and I go to the heart of resistance, which is love and life and I don't know what it is. So I'm giving up the mic. I hope that was not too off, but that was the conclusions of lots of things that happened through me throughout the week, the 2 weeks. And thank you so much, Regina, for your guidance. And I'm letting go of the mic.
Yeah, thank you very much, Ruby. That wasn't off at all. That was perfect, and I appreciated your sharing. Thank you. We have just a few minutes left. Is there someone else who would like to share? All right, Sherry, the mic is yours.
Hi, everyone. Just checking to make sure that I'm being heard. Okay, thanks. So I'll share a little about today's reading, which was NTI Revelation chapter 11. It was speaking about increasing our desire for awakening. So I asked for guidance about how I can increase my desire for awakening. Greet your true desire in the heart. Enjoy, join with it there. And that was a quote from chapter 11. In addition, love your true desire. Make of it your playmate, your friend, your partner, your intimacy, your shining face out in the world, your family, your work, your goals, your every breath. Love your true desire with all of your heart and your soul and your being. With every breath, every thought, every action, bless your true desire. Ask of it to step forth, to take precedence in your life, to lead, to dance with you in the joy of living of your life. Love your desire and let it love you with its every breath, every reshifting of your focus for you, with every beckoning that speaks of heart, from heart, to heart. Let true desire lead your everythingness for the rest of your life. Commit to your true desire. Desire your desire. Accept the invitation of the commitment of your true desire to you. Marry your true desire. Live happily ever after with your true desire. Become your true desire so that your true desire and you are no longer separate entities. Be desire. Merge with it. And thereby you become the joint will of Holy Spirit and you as one. And I'll pass the mic.
Yeah, that was beautiful. That really reminded me of Sufi type writing where, yes, falling in love with your true desire. That's one, Sherry, you may want to dog ear for the book. That was beautiful. Thank you. And I did have a few write-ins, but I think we're out of time. So I just want to the people who wrote in, I want to say thank you very much. I did read them, and I was actually very, very impressed with what you all sent. So thank you very much. What I want to do now is move on to my sharing from the week, starting with tip 275. It's kind of interesting. Because when we get into year three, we're going to be using a book called The Seven Steps to Awakening. And here we are looking at seven steps, and they're not really the same seven steps, which is why, I don't know if you've noticed in the tips, I'll say things about the seven steps as put forth by NTI. However, the seven steps don't really conflict. And when we get to The Seven Steps to Awakening by Michael Langford, I'll talk about how he created those seven steps. But we do have seven steps that that NTI puts forth, and six steps were taught on day 275. So let me just go over those six steps again. Some of y'all have commented on step one, and that is the desire. And we have learned ever since we started Gentle Healing that the desire for awakening or for what. Oh, I'm going in and out. Let me try plugging in then. That will take me a minute. So, oh, is it just Nancy or is everybody hearing me going in and out? Okay, good. So that I'll just stay as I am. I won't go plug in then because that would take time. We have seen since Gentle Healing year one that our desire for awakening or whatever our spiritual aspiration is. You know, when we were in year one, we did some contemplation and we wrote our spiritual aspirations, and it might not be awakening, as Nancy kind of pointed out, although her inner guidance seemed to correct her on that, said she wanted awakening more than she thought. But, you know, your spiritual aspiration could be something different than awakening. But whatever that spiritual aspiration is, it needs to be very, very important to you in order for you to actually put forth the effort that it requires. So step one is always the desire. Without the desire, nothing else matters, right? Step two. Step two is seeing through the mask of your own ferociousness. How do you like that word? Seeing through the mask of your own ferociousness. We were in NTI Acts, it was called cruelty. And the tip said that every unenlightened human is ferocious in some way, even if it's just mental attack, even if on the outside you seem to be a very gentle, sweet person. There's probably some kind of hate, some kind of attack going, hating and attacking others that you know. It could be hating and attacking, you know, corporations. Like if you're an environmentalist, you might be hating and attacking in your mind those corporations that you think are not aligned with improving the environment, or even, you know, the president, you know. Or some people, their viciousness is actually turned inward, hating and attacking themselves. But pretty much every unenlightened human is vicious. That's the word Jay's using now, vicious, ferocious, cruel, hateful, attacking in some way. And one of the early steps, in fact, this is step two, one of the early steps is learning to see through that mask. And what see through that mask means is learn to see the beliefs that are driving it. What are the beliefs that are underneath that are driving your form of attack, whatever your form of attack is? And as I mentioned in the tip, root cause inquiry is a tool that is used in step two. But I will tell you that viciousness or ferociousness or cruelty or anger or hatred or attack or anything like that is actually a defense mechanism. You're trying to defend yourself. You can see this sometimes from people who are raised in inner cities, in poor environments, very negative environments. They can grow up to be very violent. And the reason they grow up to be very violent is because they grow up in a situation where they feel like they have to defend themselves in a very real way. And so they become very violent, very angry young men and women, you know, attack first, that type of thing. So all of this viciousness, all of this ferociousness is not at all real. It's not even the core of your false beliefs. It is an outer layer defense, an outer layer defense. And so what you want to do is use root cause inquiry and use looking to look and see what it is you're defending against. What are those false beliefs? And that's step two. Step three is tiring of judgment. And I looked at that when I wrote tiring of judgment, and I thought, is there really another way to, is there another way to say this? And what came to me was no. No, there isn't another way to say this. This is what needs to happen. You need to tire of judgment. You know, lose interest in judging. My experience with judgment, and this was just the way it happened for me, my experience with judgment is that as I worked through the purification process more and more, I came to a point where my judgment of anything or anyone became very painful. It's like I became very, very sensitive. And every time I judged or every time I believed a judgment that came up in the mind, it hurt. And, you know, it just got more and more painful. And I perceived that as a blessing because it was that increased pain that led me to just not want judgment anymore, led me to tire of judgment. Some of you may have heard that, you know, when I tell people how I let go pretty much, I mean, not 100%, but, you know, at least 80%. I let go of the judging mind. And the reason that I was able to do that was because judging was beginning to feel like hitting myself in the head with a hammer. And I just got sick and tired of hitting myself in the head with a hammer, right? So tiring of judgment is a very important step, and that is step three. Step four, that was worded in NTI Revelation as letting go of death. But the way I worded it in the tip is it's letting go of the belief that life is temporary. And where that belief really comes from is the belief that the body-mind personality is real. The belief that the body-mind personality is what you are. The belief that the body-mind personality is primary. You know, it kind of goes along with the belief that the body-mind personality, when it is either conceived or born, depending on your belief system, life enters into it. It's primary, and the life is secondary, right? The body comes into existence first, and life enters the body second. And what that belief entails then is that when the body ends, life has to end too, right? Because the body is secondary. And almost all humans believe this without even realizing that they believe it, without even looking at the fact that they believe it. And in fact, I remember somewhere in the transparency of things, near the beginning of the transparency of things, so it was near the beginning of year two, Rupert Spira talked about that, how we believe that the body is primary and life is secondary. And step four is reversing that so that we see that life is primary and the body is secondary. And as I mentioned in the tip, awareness, watching awareness is a tool of step four. Because as you practice awareness, watching awareness, and if you practice awareness, watching awareness, you probably already know this. As you practice it, you come to see that life awareness is primary and that the body, mind, personality are secondary. Or said another way, life awareness is what you are and the body, mind, personality are what you see, what you watch. They're the objects, right? And you come to really realize that the body, mind, personality are temporary. They are mortal, right? They are going to pass away, but the life awareness that you are is not. And so that's really the turning around point that happens at step four. Step five is trusting all that is as it is, right? Just exactly as it is. You know? So this, of course, means that you're letting go of ideas of how it should be, or letting go of wishes that it should be different than it is, right? You're learning whatever happens, however things are, you're learning to trust all that is as it is. That is step five. And that's a very important step as you go into step six, because when you go into step six, and especially step seven, this is the point where a lot of fear can begin to arise. So if you've really learned to trust all that is as it is, that's going to help you through step six and step seven. Step six in NTI is called letting go of perception. But what this really means is letting go of thought as me. Because we perceive through the filter of our mind, right? You and I can look at the exact same situation and see it in two completely different ways. You know, I could see it as good, and you could see the exact same situation as bad. You know, so we're seeing through our thoughts. So we let go of perception, you know, let this way of seeing that is perception, by letting go of seeing thought as me, letting go of believing that these thoughts are my thoughts. And so that is step six. And then step seven doesn't come up for a couple more days. So there's a couple review days before we get to step seven. But those are the first six steps. Again, step one is the desire to awaken. Step two is seeing through the mask or the defense of your own ferociousness. Step three is tiring of judgment. Step four is letting go of the belief that life is temporary, or we could call it secondary to the body, mind, personality. Step 5 is trusting all that is as it is. And then step 6 is letting go of perception, which means letting go of thought as me. Now on day 276, what we reviewed were 12 lessons that have been taught in NTI in order to prepare us to let go of the ego completely. Let me go ahead and I'm just going to read those lessons. My intention now is not to comment on them, but I shouldn't promise, because if a comment comes up, it will. So we'll see what happens. But my intention is just to read these lessons so that we can hear them again. So here are the 12 lessons. Number 1, you are innocent. And here comes your first comment. That, of course, means that you're no longer believing the I am bad thought. Right? You are innocent. Number 2, you are the Son of God, and everything you experience is a gift to yourself. Number 3, you choose the purpose for everything you see, and the purpose you choose is the one that is given to it. And that's, you know, even now my heart is opening up when I read that. Number 3 is one of my favorite of these 12 lessons. Because if I choose to see everything as being present in order to be helpful to my awakening, then guess what? Everything, no matter what it is helpful to my awakening. So I think that's an incredible power. Number 4. Purpose is based on desire. Since there is only one true desire, there is only one true purpose. Anything else is illusion. When we were in Italy, we were contemplating the quotes. I don't remember if this was Saint Benedict or if this was Saint Philip Neri, but one of them said that whenever you think you want anything else but truth, and they may have said self, I don't remember the exact words, whenever you think you want anything else but truth, you are deceiving yourself. You are deceiving yourself. And that's what this one says. Purpose is based on desire. Since there is only one true desire, there is only one true purpose. Anything else is illusion. Number 5, you are never alone. Separation is false. The light in the mind lends you its strength, because the light in the mind is your strength. Number 6, the illusion of the world is false. It only seems real because you have given it your belief. By withholding your belief, its realness must fade. And at least in my experience, the place where I withheld the belief was at the thought level, right? At the interpretive level. Stop believing my own thoughts. Stop believing your own thoughts, right? That's how you let go of the illusion. Number 7, your faith and trust is everything. For that which you put faith in, you will experience. This is because you are the Son of God. And of course, you can put faith in anything. You can put faith in the idea that nobody likes me, nobody wants to be around me, and you will experience that. even though maybe people really do like being around you, that's irrelevant. You will experience whatever you put faith in. So if you put faith and trust in truth, faith and trust in the idea that everything is here to help you awaken, that is what you will experience. Number 8, your true desire is know thyself. Any other desire is the desire not to know thyself, which is to choose lack and fear. You are ready to put aside the temporary experience of lack and fear and to know the completeness of truth once again. Number 9, anything that is not truth is illusion. To choose illusion is to choose fantasy. that fantasy cannot change the truth. Number 10, fantasy is spun within the thinking mind. By allowing the thinking mind to spin, you choose fantasy. By allowing the thinking mind to rest, you choose truth. And I love that. It's how easy is it to choose truth? Rest, accept, and trust. That's how easy it is, right? I love that. Number 11, everything that you experience is love. There is not one exception to this statement. You believe you look on that which is not love, you are misperceiving. To see and to know love as it is, let go of your misperception, right? You may remember when we were looking at NTI Ephesians, we looked at the idea that love is giving to Spirit, through Spirit, that which Spirit requests. So every single appearance is love because we have given our believing attention to thoughts that have created that appearance. And we got exactly the appearance that we asked for by placing our believing attention with specific thoughts, thoughts with specific energies, right? So it's all love. We're just getting what we ask for all the time. Number 12, oneness is all that is true now. The belief in separation has always been false, so anything that is seen through the lens of that belief must be false also. There is not one exception to this statement. So those are the 12 lessons that have prepared us to accept only that which is true, which means those are the 12 lessons that prepare us to let go of the ego completely. On day 277, we had a fun day. Day 277, we read NTI Revelation Chapter 8 in order to become aware of our own interpretations. And I'm going to share with you one, two, three, four, five things. Well, really four things. One of them is kind of minor. One, two, three, four things that I saw in my mind that I absolutely know are true. I interpret in these ways, and I hadn't seen them until doing this exercise this week. So this shows that this exercise can work if you give it your attention. Sometimes people like to just blow off revelation. So this doesn't mean anything. This is just silly. And actually, that's a thought that should be written down. See, that's a thought in your mind. So that's a thought that should be written down. And why did I just want to blow off all this? What's underneath that? The idea when you do this exercise in Revelation 8 is that you should write down every thought that you see your mind think as you're reading it. And, you know, you'd be surprised how many thoughts your mind, you know, there could be maybe at least 10 thoughts that your mind thought while you were reading Revelation 8. And then you go back and look at each and every thought to find out what's underneath that and what does that mean regarding how you interpret the world. Well, let me just share with you these four things that I discovered in my mind as I was reading Revelation 8 this week. And I was actually surprised to find four things because I've done this exercise a number of times. I thought, my first thought going into it was that I wasn't going to get anything out of it because I'd done this so many times, right? Now, if I had listened to that very first thought completely, I might not have even tried. I mean, why bother? Here I am. I'm the teacher. I'm right a tip. I've done this before. I don't need to do the exercise, right? And then I would not have discovered the four things that I discovered. So the mind is very, very tricky, which is why you want to write down every single thing it says when you're doing this exercise. Otherwise, you may miss the tricks of the ego. But the four things that I found, which I think are very important for me to see, one, and again, these are all things about the mind. One is that I found in myself a desire for idealism, which means that I prefer to see things as good. And as I looked at this very deeply, I realized that I can sometimes get annoyed with people who find problems when I want everything to be good, when I want everything to be okay. Right, a desire for idealism. And in fact, as I looked at this, I realized just how true this is. For example, just recently I read a book about St. Francis, and I really loved the part of the book where St. Francis was idealistic. And, you know, he's the Saint Francis that we all know and love, you know, speaking to the birds and ringing out the sunlight from his from his field, from his experience in the field and all of that. But, you know, and I don't know whether it's true or whether it's just the interpretation of the author, but sometimes the author would write about how difficult such and such a thing was with St. Francis and how frustrated he got and how disillusioned he got. And I didn't want to see that part. I mean, I did, obviously, or I couldn't be telling you about it, but there was definitely a preference for the idealistic and a wanting the author to be wrong about the non-idealistic. So this is very important for me to see. Right? This is very important for me to see in my mind because this is a part of how I interpret everything, right? I want everything to be okay, and I don't want people bringing up a problem when we could just ignore that problem and everything could be okay. Second thing that I saw in my, oh, but by the way, let me just tell you a little bit about how I found this stuff. It was, I don't remember the exact words in Revelation now, but it was reading about how the rivers, you know, God's wrath was harming the rivers, which made me think of rivers being polluted. And you know, and I just wrote down the sentence that the thought that came up in the mind that I wrote down was, I don't want the rivers to be polluted. I like clear streams. And there were other sentences as well that I wrote down. And as I went back and looked at those sentences that I wrote down that just were thoughts that just happened in my mind while I was reading, I realized that I liked the idealistic. And I began looking at that very deeply, and I began to see just how true that is, right? Another thing that came up for me that I saw was that I have a preference for the innocent over the intelligent. And I can see that this has always been true in my life. You know, for example, if Ron and Jasmine get into a tiff, you know, I expect Ron, because he's older and more intelligent, to be the one that gives in, you know, because she's the, back then, you know, she's the little kid, she's the innocent one, right, you know, so I always have a preference for the innocent over the intelligent. I think the intelligent should know better, they should suck it up, and they should do what's right. And I could, the way this came up was my mental thoughts that I wrote down when during the part of Revelation 8, first the creatures were destroyed by God, and I wrote down whatever it was that I thought then. I don't have those notes in front of me. But then the ships were destroyed by God. I noticed the difference. My compassion for the creatures was very, very great. I didn't have any compassion for the ships, the military ships that were destroyed by God. And that's because the intelligence should know better to war or anyway, right? So I discovered this preference for the innocent over the intelligent. The next thing I noticed is that I hold judgments against people who believe things that I see as too outrageous to believe. For example, some people believe, and who knows, some of you may, some people believe that George Bush was behind the downing of the Twin Towers. And I just think that's ridiculous. I can't believe anybody would believe that. And I hold a judgment against the people who believe that. And the way that came up in the reading was I read the word wormwood. And my mind flashed back to when I lived in Berlin, Germany, and the Chernobyl nuclear accident happened. And there was some kind of rumor going around that the nickname for Chernobyl was Wormwood, and this was the beginning of the apocalypse. And, you know, and I thought, that's ridiculous. How could anybody think that? And because of that memory, you know, and because I wrote it down, and then because I went back and looked at it, I found that I consistently hold judgments against people who believe things that I see as too outrageous to believe. You know, they should be smarter than that, is the judgment in the mind. And then the last thing that I really discovered was a strong preference for predictability and consistency. So again, if you really apply yourself to this exercise, you can truly find things out about yourself, things that interpretive habits that you have that go beyond what's happening when you're reading NTI Revelation 8, but that carry over into your life. Let me just share one more thing. On day 278, this is when we finally looked at what step seven is. And step seven is giving meaning to anything the ego says or does as it dies its final death. However, if your mind is still automatically interpreting and you aren't catching that interpretation and looking at that interpretation, there's no way you're going to be able to give no meaning to anything the ego says and does, because your mind is automatically going to be giving meaning. And so what that means is now we need to be learning to look at our minds, find out how it interprets, find out why it interprets, learn to catch it in the process, and let go. It's undoing the interpretive nature of the mind. And as we learn to undo the interpretive nature of the mind, we're really letting go of perception, that sixth step. And that prepares us for the seventh step, which enables us to, like we saw in the clip today from Little Buddha, to just watch as the ego goes through whatever it goes through as it dies its final death, without us adding any interpretation to it. And that allows us to go through the eye of the needle and awaken. So I didn't have time to share my own guidance from Revelation 10, but fortunately a couple other people did. So I want to say thank you to those who did. And then, as it was already mentioned today, a part of today is asking for guidance to see how you can increase your own desire to awaken, because again, that's step one, right? The intense desire for awakening. So why don't we go ahead and look at our homework for this week? Of course, we still have the usual homework assignment A, practicing the daily meditation and the loving all method. Homework assignment B, you'll be doing thoughts of awakening 281 to 287. And then homework assignment C, you're going to read NTI Revelation 12 18. And again, there will be some journaling exercises and you'll be reading from the Bible, but the tips will guide you through all of that. So just let the tips guide you. Next week, I will not be here because I'm going to Arkansas to see my dad. I haven't seen him in a year and a half. And Jasmine hasn't seen him in 3.5 years. So it just felt like it was time to go see dad. So we're going to do that. So Jacqueline will be here. Jacqueline will lead you through gentle healing next week. Thank you all so very much for coming. And that's it for tonight. Enjoy Revelation over the next week. I'll see you in a couple weeks. Releasing the mic.